Welcome to It's About Time. This is a show where we examine issues related to overwork, overscheduling, overconsumption, and time poverty. Today's guest is Matthew Cornell, and Matthew is a workflow consultant. So he's going to be talking to us about ways to effectively manage all that overload of information that seems to bombard us every day, and so that he's going to give us some ways to free up time in our lives so we can be more creative and have more satisfying pursuits. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Now you always say that you want to be free, but you
welcome back. Today our guest is Matthew Cornell, and Matthew is a former NASA engineer, and he's currently a consultant in New England specializing in personal productivity. And he's available to do one-on-one workflow coaching, and he does workshops and seminars. So thanks very much, Matthew, for coming today.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thank you, Dan.
So I think I'd like to start by defining what is workflow management? What does that mean?
What does that mean? That's a good question. I think of it as staying on top of all the stuff that comes into our lives. You know, you get phone calls, paperwork, messages from people, and we don't really have good tools for managing all that. And I think it gets in the way of our doing the things you mentioned at the beginning, you know, being happy, spending the time like we want. And so workflow management is about figuring out what's coming into your life, corralling it, pulling out the really important stuff, and then putting it in a system that helps you do the things you care about and to get things out of your head, too.
Okay. So what is it that got you interested in doing this kind of work?
Well, what happened, I joked that my boss gave me a copy of David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, and yeah, I was productive at work and doing all right, and he knows I'd like to improve things, so book sat around a couple months, of course. I read it, and I just was blown away by the changes that started happening in my life. I lost 15 pounds, cured my insomnia, fixed a back problem, and I had to wonder, you know, great book or midlife crisis? I just didn't know what it was.
So tell me, how does the book relate to you making those changes?
Well, the basic idea is a fundamental, get things out of your head, all right? And the thought is that we overload our brains with all this stuff coming at us every day. So much to do, so much information. It's just too much for our brains to handle. It literally shuts them down in a certain way. It turns off the creative, innovative thinking that our brains are great at. They're really great at having those ideas. They're not great at trying to track all those things. So you'll hear people say, you know, remind me to get the car fixed. And you'll hear people say that over and over. We're just not good at remembering stuff like that. So I give people a way to systematize that and get it out of their heads. And then that frees them up to do the really important things and ask the big questions that your show is about.
So when you read the book, you found that you were able to take all of the mucky stuff that was bothering you, get it on paper, and then make the changes that you wanted to make.
That's exactly right. Because often we don't have a sense of all the things we've committed to. So it's easy to take on more and more and more without realizing what we've already said we're going to do. So once my clients and I you know, identify everything that I've said I'm going to do, get it onto paper, that lets you start making different choices about those things, as well as just that freeing up of your head I mentioned earlier.
Okay. So one of the principles sounds like you really want to make sure that you're getting stuff out of your head onto paper so it frees you up. Are there other basic principles of this work that you're doing?
Yeah, there are three of them. One is keep everything out of your head. The second thing is decide meaning and action of things when they first come into your life instead of letting them sit around and bug you later. So that front-end decision-making is a big change for people. And then third is keep a complete inventory or list of every action, every project you've committed to, and review that regularly to figure out, am I doing the right thing? Am I making progress?
Okay.
So those are the three fundamentals. They're kind of, you know, they're kind of wishy-washy when you first hear them, but they get really concrete quickly when I start teaching people. How does that actually happen?
Okay, so can you walk us through an example of, so you might work with an individual or a business, is that right?
Yes, it's mostly individuals, but I might work with a group in the same business who are trying to get more productive.
Okay, and you're working with them in their homes or their workplaces?
Well, that's an interesting question. Often we, they'll have me come into both because it's not like you get into work and you suddenly stop thinking of everything that you have at home, right? In fact, often I'll get to work and I'll realize, oh, you know, I forgot to do this. I have to make a phone call. It's one brain, regardless of how you try to compartmentalize it. So often I do people work with them at their home because we often have home offices. A lot of us are self-employed. And also at their workplace to try to cover everything, get everything out of their head.
Okay. So can you walk us through how you might begin to work with somebody?
Yeah. So suppose you and I were sitting together at one of your offices. The first thing we do is make sure that you have all the supplies, all the basic infrastructure, a desk drawer that works, and you know, staplers and all that. And then we'd pile everything up into a big pile, collect all the papers you've got laying around, boxes, warranty cards, whatever. And we do that from your desk, your floor, your purse, your car, you know, collect everything. And that's the first of the five phases, collect everything. Because how can you know what work you have to do if you haven't gone through everything that's coming into your life?
Collecting, and so you're collecting all your old files, old papers?
Yeah, anything that's lying around your office that isn't supplies, equipment, reference, or decoration, basically,
mm-hmm.
is stuff that needs to have your attention.
Okay, and I assume that includes your computer and what's on your computer.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, any tasks or old to-do lists you've made, email is a major collection point for a lot of people. With email, it's happening for you. So often we start with paper to just teach the system. And also, that, you know, having all that paper around is really distracting. Mm-hmm. You ever had something where it's, a letter from the insurance company, and you take it out and you look at it, and you're like, I don't want to look at that. So you set it, you move it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk past that thing a day later, and you're like, oh, I really have to get work on that. Every time you walk past that, you're deferring a decision, and it's causing stress.
Right, and taking energy, right?
Exactly, mm-hmm. That's right, sapping your energy when you could be, you know, deal with it, and figure out any action for it, and then move on to the next thing.
Right, and I'm sure people have all kinds of bad habits. I know one of the things I do is I see something like that. I think of it as really important, so I put it on a bulletin board, and then I keep putting things on the bulletin board and can't make out what's up there and what's most important.
Exactly. And we really don't learn good habits for things like that. And that's what I – when I got excited about this work, I started studying the field and asking, you know, is this something special? Where'd it come from? And it turns out we just don't have the skills, I think. We're not taught them, even though we're highly educated, we go to school, we have a lot of experience at work. We just don't know how do you stay on top of this kind of overload that's just gotten worse and worse, even in the last 10 years.
Right. I think in some ways, how could we have been prepared for the amount of information that comes into our lives?
Exactly. It's like this big experiment where we're seeing how much can we handle.
Mm. You know,
and what are our brains good at? It's really interesting.
Right. And what's the fallout from it when we can't?
Exactly. Yeah, stress and health and
yeah.
just our lives.
Or loss of priorities, too, because it becomes a crisis mode that everything is like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, without really being able to think clearly.
Absolutely. Often it's those really emotional things or the really recent things that get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe those often aren't the best things to be focusing on in the moment.
Right.
So how can you know what should you be doing unless you've got it all sort of listed in one place instead of using a bunch of stacks or the push pins on your bulletin board?
Yeah. Okay, so you've gathered everything with your client. What would be the next thing that you would do?
So the next thing, and this is a big habit, once I set up with you collection points, like a single inbox for your paper, inbox for your email, voicemail, then we go through and learn how to process and organize that. In other words, every day or two, you're going to get those inboxes down to zero. Okay, so I have a flow chart that shows, okay, how do you make a decision for each piece of paper, each email? Okay, so here's a overdue notice from the library. All right, what do I need to do about that? So I take people through that decision making where you pull out any action and then you put the results somewhere where you can really be reminded appropriately. Okay. So that's and we work through the backlog if there is any. Often there's a lot of paper, a lot of email. So we get that down to zero. And then I teach people how do you stay on top of it instead of getting overwhelmed again.
Okay, tell us a little about that.
So the processing and organizing, mm-hmm. Do you want to use an example?
Well, sure. Say I have an email, a library notice comes in that there's a book I've been waiting for.
Okay, great. So what you would do is, instead of checking your email every 5 minutes, which a lot of us do, you'd set some time aside and go through the whole batch, including, let's say that's the first one, the email from the library. So the first thing you do is ask a question. What is it? Sometimes you don't even know. It's a request from somebody for, I don't know what they want here. So clarify that. Then you ask, is it actionable? And that's the key question. Because you can talk about time management all day long, but really it comes down to how are you going to act? What are you going to do? So pulling out the action is something that people sometimes need some practice with because it's not evident.
Okay.
Okay.
So is it an action? And then what are the other possibilities?
Well, if it's not actionable, we're going to put it somewhere. And that's, I set up general reference with people. You're going to trash it. There are a couple choices there. If it is actionable, then you ask, is it part of a project? Are there, more than one? Is there more than one thing that needs to happen to make this thing happen? So, for example, the library notice, probably the only thing you need to do is remember to go pick it up at the library. So that's a single-step thing, but often there's more than one thing involved. Like, I had a roof problem. Get the roof fixed. That would be the kind of thing you'd see on somebody's to-do list. But actually, I'm not a roofer. I can't fix the roof. So I really need to call a roofer for an estimate. And then it can cascade. Okay, I don't know a roofer. I have to call my neighbor Bob, who knows a roofer. So the actual next action is call my neighbor to get a roofer's recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see how that would help you take something that feels overwhelming and makes it more manageable.
That's right. Divide and conquer is a very standard technique, and that's built into this. Mm-hmm. So really, you're only pulling out one action. And it's like, okay, fixing the roof is too big, but calling somebody, I can do that. My brain's not going to reject that or resist it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask, there's this two-minute rule you might have heard of, which is, can I do this in 2 minutes or less? And this will help you blast through a lot of email and very quick things. If you do online bill paying, often you can take care of it there. And that is very helpful just to make some progress on the little things instead of stacking them up and trying to do them later.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can't do it right now, can you delegate it? So mm-hmm. very often we have people maybe at work or family members, people can help with things. So it's a good question to keep in mind. And if so, I show people how to track that so it doesn't fall through the cracks.
Okay.
And then if not, you have to do it. Can't do it now. Can't delegate it. So you have to either put it on your calendar or put it on a special to-do list called an next actions list.
Okay. Now, I tend to use my calendar a lot. I put a lot of things in there. So it helps me. I open up that day and I see the things that I should do that day.
Right. The calendar is really interesting because very often we learn, okay, you want to get something done, write down the day you're going to do it on and the time. Okay. And what happens is often we'll write down things that don't really have to happen on that day. Okay, so for example, I might need to get the oil changed. And I think, okay, following this technique, where do I put it? Well, I'll put it on Monday, right? Arbitrary day. Monday rolls around and, well, I just got a call from the school. My child is sick. My boss gave me an emergency thing to work on. Do you think I'm going to do the oil change that day?
Probably
no way,
not.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you keep pushing things along. So in this system, you only put things in your calendar that you have to do on a particular day. All right. And it turns out that's like 5 to 25% of your stuff. It's not the majority. The rest goes on an actions list that is the sort of to do as soon as possible.
Okay, so that when you have breaks in your day, you're then looking at that list to see what you're going to do.
And that's exactly right. That's the daily review. The first thing you look at is your calendar, because those are appointments that you just can't move around. They have to happen. And then you see, is there anything else that has to happen that day? Maybe I have to send off a FedEx package that day. Okay, so those are the priorities. And then after that, you fit in, just like you were saying, the actions in between those.
So what's the step after that? So you teach them how to process, and then how do they keep up with that?
Right. So that's the reviewing and the doing part of it. Those are the last two phases.
Okay.
And it's partly just what I told you about, you know, checking your calendar first and then fitting in the actions. And when you look at those, you decide based on a couple different criteria. How much time do I have available? How much energy do I have? What's the priority of the thing? Mm-hmm. And what is possible in the moment? If I don't have my computer there, I don't need to look at all those involving email or web surfing, similarly for your phone. So I teach people how to go through that list of actions and pick the ones in the moment that make the most sense. It's kind of an intuitive thing.
Okay.
But again, having that list is a big jump up from having your stuff spread around, not knowing what you're supposed to be doing. This is a very principled way to look at how do you want to spend your time.
And talk a little more about how to control all the emails that we have, because I know that I have hundreds of emails in my inbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, email's amazing because unlike your paper email, paper box or mailbox, there's almost no limit to how much stuff you can just stuff in there and leave there. So often people use their email inbox for a couple different things. First, they use it to collect email, new messages, and that's what it's made for. Then they use their inbox for things like, keeping something around to remind me to do something. Mixed in with that is often things like reference. You know, I want to keep this around. I don't want to lose this memo. And then also people ask, what am I waiting for? What things have I delegated? And they use the email message as a flag to remind them of that. So mixing all that stuff together is not a best practice. It's much better to go through everything, make a decision about each of those, put the results somewhere, and then get them out of your inbox.
Right, because otherwise it seems like you'd be looking through tens of emails trying to figure out what you're supposed to do next.
Exactly, and I've met people with 3,000 email messages in their inbox. One woman had 10,000 messages.
Wow.
And of those 10,000, how many fit on a screen, 30 or 40? How are you going to be able to figure out of those 10,000 which is the next one that's the most important thing to work on in the moment? It's impossible. And there's also a lot of stress involved because you don't know where was that email or am I forgetting something?
Right.
So, I have people get that down to zero every day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big shift because emails, it's very addictive, wanting to
true.
Check it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've tried to control myself and say I'm only going to check like twice a day, but it does pull you. It's a pull,
exactly.
A strong pull.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Time is on my side. You wanna be free, but you come running back.
I said you were baby.
You come running back.
I said so many times before.
You come running back to me. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. But just wait and see. You come.
Thanks for staying with us. We're speaking with Matthew Cornell, who is a workflow consultant, and he's helping us with all the stuff and information that's coming into our lives and talking to us about how to manage that. So, Matthew, I know that for me, there's a few things that I'm trying to do, and I'd like to hear if this system would help me.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so one of them is I want to be a little more flexible in my life. I tend to have lists and to feel like I have to follow them, and I don't seem to find time, as much time as I'd like, to be spontaneous. So how can this help me?
That's a great question. Often we think of people who keep track of lists as maybe it seems less creative and more confining than a more free flow. But I actually think it's the opposite. I think adding structure, it's like jazz improvisation. They're not just playing any note they want. There is a structure there. There's a key signature. There's what the instrument can do. So I think there's actually a lot of freedom that can come from having some kind of structure to fit within. Okay, so you're asking about too much to do. again, this system lets you keep track of everything you're trying to do and be able to make good choices based on that. And if you need more time, you can look at what you've committed to and say, you know what, I really don't want to commit to this. This is too much. Or when something new comes into your life, you might want to really say yes to that opportunity. This keeps you much more flexible because you can very quickly say, you know what, this is better than what I was planning to do. It's a better use of my time. I'm going to shift just like that. Mm-hmm. And this allows you to do that.
Okay. I noticed that something on your flowchart says maybe someday. Can you tell me about what I'd use that for?
Oh, that's a great one. You know those things that you think of in life and you get all excited about and you're like, I'd really love to do that. Okay. I'd really love to learn Latin dance, for example. All right. But often those things don't happen in our lives. We have too much going on. What happens, I think, is that we, you know, there's a part of our brain that keeps remembering that and it keeps coming up, and I think it's stressful. So what I have people do is keep a someday maybe list, and that's just a folder, and they print out things, they write notes to themselves, and they put them into there. These are things that they're not ready to commit on, but it's not a black hole. You review it once a week as part of the weekly review. And what's really interesting is that because you're looking at them once a week at least, they're getting into your mind. I'd argue they're getting into your subconscious and opening up your perception of the world and the way you interact to actually make them sort of start happening. So I really like that piece of it. You'll find that after a couple months, maybe you really are, you know, you've signed up for that language class or whatever you're interested in doing. Mm-hmm. So that someday maybe list is really fun.
Okay, and you're saying to go through that weekly. Are there other things that you recommend people do weekly?
Yeah, that's right. There's a sequence of steps I teach, and it's not too complicated. But one of the things is you do a mind sweep. Okay, remember I said try to keep everything out of your head and the value of that. So once a week, and this is something I do working with somebody, we say, okay, Deb, take out a piece of paper and just start writing. It's like a stream of consciousness. Anything that's on your mind, bugging you, you're excited about, things that came up, ideas, whatever, you just start going and capturing those. And you'd be surprised how much we tend to keep in our heads that we didn't think was there. And then, of course, the beauty of it is once you've done that mind sweep once a week, you know what to do with the sheet of paper. You tear it off, you put it in your inbox, and then you use the processing and organizing to pull out whatever action you really want to take now on that. So most people, they do a mind sweep. They feel good because they clear their head out, but they also feel like, ugh, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
Mm-hmm. And this system is it's built in what you're doing every day with this kind of stuff.
That's right. Once every 24 to 48 hours, you're clearing the inboxes down to zero and getting back up on top of things.
Wow. Okay. So another thing I'm trying to do is simplify my life a bit and eliminate some of my responsibilities or things that I take on. So is there a way that this will help me in that?
Well, again, I think it has to, the answer is yes. And it has to do with getting explicit about what you've really committed to doing in your life. Okay, so a lot of us don't have a sense of, you know, it's kind of this vague, you know what I'm doing? I feel like I'm doing too much. I've got too much on my plate or my plate is overloaded. But we don't really have a really concrete way of knowing what we've committed to. So it's hard to start saying no and hard to start making better choices that are more in line with that kind of how do I want to live my life.
Okay. And so what about all the things? I mean, I want to clear some of these responsibilities out because I want to spend more time with friends and mm-hmm. do fun things and be with my family more.
Right.
They're not on my list. So when do they come in?
So maybe you could give me an example of something you're thinking of.
Well, I mean, I could have a day off, for instance, and I have a lot of things on my to-do list that mm-hmm. I should do. But I want to do something with my daughter that day.
That's a really good one. So one of the things I recommend is just time blocking out chunks in your calendar for the things that you really care about, okay? Some people use this for exercise, and others use it for, you know what, after 5 o'clock at night, I'm going to spend that time with my family, okay? So really just making room to do those things you care about and deciding that you're not going to do your actions during that time. So that's one approach.
Okay. So are there any habits that people have, bad habits that are hard to break or that you're trying to get them
absolutely.
To break with this?
Yeah. That's the hard part of this work is, you know, somebody can come in and straighten up your office and clean it up and do some filing for you. And that's really a different kind of thing. This is, what are those habits? What habits are we trying to change? And one of them is that idea of collection. Well, they use their entire house for collection. They use their cars. They use their purses. Stuff is all over.
These different habits interfere with them being organized and getting done what they need to get done.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that can happen. For example, if you're not staying on top of stuff coming into your life, it's stressful because you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't know if I should pay that bill or attend a school program. You might miss out on things you really care about. You might find things like a bill that's overdue that has real financial ramifications as a result of missing it. So things falling through the cracks is the kind of result of not doing that collection part of it.
Right. And yeah. I would imagine that what people come to you that they've been doing is some people write lists, but they're all over the place, just like all those collection spots are all over the
place. Exactly. That's right. So this is a centralized list of actions. And one habit people do is they write to-do lists, but they write things that are vague, like that roof example I gave earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't learn how to break it down into really tiny actions that our brains aren't going to procrastinate on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's another one.
Right. Now, I'll tell you the things I procrastinate on. Maybe you could help me with these. I procrastinate on anything that involves writing because it's just more of an effort for me, and I know it's going to take a lot of time. And I procrastinate on things that I need to really think about. Those are the steps of projects that I get caught up on
that I have to
really just sit and think about. And so do you find time to do that?
Oh, exactly. It's if you've got the choice between going and check your email versus doing some hard, heavy thinking about something, you know, what's our natural inclination?
Email.
Email. It seems
easy.
Easy,
quick, down and dirty.
It's one of those things that it's busy work. It feels like I'm actually doing something, okay? But, you know, in the long term, you're going to feel a lot worse about things because you've got that writing project that you really have committed to, that you want to make progress on. So breaking that thinking down, if we were working on a project and you said, you know, I don't know what to do next. I've got to think about it. Okay, so doing planning is a very valid next action for a project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I really need to sit down. And the more concrete you can get, the better.
Okay.
So instead of plans, maybe for the writing, do the first pass of an outline. Okay. The more specific you make it, the less you're likely to sort of like avoid it and try to do something else. So breaking things down is a great one.
Right. Even for the writing, I could see just saying, I'm going to sit down for 10 minutes
and write. Oh, that's
a great
one. Absolutely. Yeah, somebody called it the tolerable 10. Mm-hmm. And the thought there is arbitrarily chunking it into a piece that makes sense. So sitting down for 5 minutes. And somebody told me, you know, there's a part of the brain that can be tricked by something like that, where you say, you know what? I'm not going to really do the writing. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to get my paper out. I'm just going to, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Yeah.
And often it starts stretching into 10 or 20, and that's great because now you've got your momentum built up.
Right, because the hard part is just getting yourself there. Someone actually told me that about meditation. They said, you don't have to meditate. Just sit a pillow down and just go to that pillow twice a day.
There you go.
And then just go there, and then you could go away. But once you're there, it's like, oh, this isn't so bad.
Exactly.
The avoiding sometimes is the bad part of it. But
that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So that breaking projects down into actions and picking just one to get moving on and putting that in your life, that's the essence of that processing and organizing.
Right. And also I think knowing what time of day you do things best, because for me, late afternoon, I'm much better at the easy tasks than what you're calling the hard thinking.
Okay, exactly. So some people call that do your MIT first, your most important task first, or whenever your prime time is.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people, that's in the morning. And the recommendation there can be, you know, don't even check your email if you can get away with it. Spend your first few minutes working on the hard stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and I would think that all of this would help you enjoy the other things that we were talking about, the time with friends and family, because you're more present.
That's right. You're not thinking about, in the moment with your family, what should I be working on? You know, what have I forgotten? Is there that bill there? Is that project really bugging me? You're making progress on that, and you've listed it all out. So when you choose to do something, you know what you're not doing as well, and you're comfortable with that. So I think that's absolutely critical. In these modern days where we have so much we're trying to accomplish.
Right. That's great. Well, Matthew, how can people reach you if they are interested in working with you?
Oh, they can go to my website, and there's contact information there. It's matthewcornell.org, MatthewCornell.org, and
okay.
They can send me an email or call me.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us
today.
Thanks.
It's been a pleasure, Deb. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you for listening today to It's About Time. As always, we would love to hear your comments and your story ideas. You can email them to itsabouttimeradio@comcast.net. And this show has been produced in association with Take Back Your Time, a national initiative challenging overwork, overscheduling, and time urgency. Find them at timeday.org.